Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we are going to be discussing Byzantine Dances by Carol Britton Chambers. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This piece will be a blast for your students to play. Yeah. It's high energy, lots of fun, like the title kind of conveys. It's in the key of concert B flat throughout, no key changes. It does have a tempo change, split clarinet parts, split trumpet parts on this. The trombone and euphonium part are not the same, but you don't need really great low brass to play this. Six percussionists minimum. In order to pull off all the percussive elements, I think, on this, right?
Yeah, and then the piece is written in kind of like this Byzantine style, like Roman Empire. So like just the harmonic structure of the piece adds a lot of like accidentals. It sounds a little bit like...
It's very Turkish.
Minor-esque, yeah. Yes. So it's really fun, and it's got different styles of dance to it too, which makes it really cool. It's kind of like written in an ABA style. Mm-hmm. The fun upbeat dances at the beginning, then there's like a slow soloistic type dance in the middle, and then it's back to the fun dance at the end. It's got claps. It's got
and
a fun...
snapping. Yeah. So yeah, like that scares some people, yeah. But you know, I think it's as long as you teach it properly,
yes, for sure,
there's nothing to be scared of there.
Yes. So the piece starts out very quick at 152 to 160 is what it's written at. It's got a very active snare drum part and a very active tom part, as well as a tambourine part. So you want to put some good percussionists on those parts where they can keep the tempo going without rushing it, without dragging, without overplaying. They're just trying to keep the vibe going.
And the key in the snare part, I want to say, is making sure that their unaccented notes are really low. Like really just have the accented notes be what's kind of driving the momentum forward. Keep their unaccented notes really low. If they try to play all of that too loud, number one, it's going to be too noisy and it's going to slow the tempo down big time.
For sure. So the whole band starts off together. We kind of have this like 1, 2, 3, 4 back and forth part where half the band has half notes on 1, 3, 1, 3, and the rest of the band has quarter, half, quarter, quarter, half, quarter, so that it sounds almost like back and forth. So make sure you're tonguing really firmly. And then we want to bring out the moving part, which is like trumpet and upper woodwind. Then we have a long note. Trumpet one is on an upper D, flute is on a C. So we'll want to watch the cross tuning on those instruments. Got a little accented moment from the lows. Make sure that comes out of the mix. Everybody releases on beat 3, and then there's a tambourine roll
and a strike the
suspended cymbal with a mallet and a bass drum hit.
Big
so that's
hit
what happens
on
beat
4.
Yeah, it's like a big percussive moment, like here we go.
So that is something that would need to be isolated and practiced, right? Make sure that the winds are very clearly releasing on beat 3 so that that beat 4 percussive hit is effective.
Yes. At 5, the lows and the accompaniment need to come down a lot in volume. The whole band is written at mezzo forte, but you'll need to either go through the parts ahead of time and mark them in and change that to like a piano or a mezzo piano. The melody is in trumpet 1, flute, and clarinet 1. So that's not very many voices when you think about it.
And the range is pretty low here at the beginning too. So it's not going to project as easily.
Right, right. Which is good because those groups together can sound really pretty because it's not written like really high or anything. But yes, everybody else will have to be light and soft. And the rhythm is 1 and 4, 1 and 4. For everybody else. So you have to make sure that lines up, that the style lines up how you want it. It should probably be a little bit short and light, not like long or anything, just to kind of keep it going. In the melody, there are staccatos written in, so obviously that helps. The cool little grace note in the melody makes it sound more fun, and it's got an accent. So 1, 2, 3, 4, a 1, 2, and 3. So that's really fun because it does the grace note into beat one with the accent and then those short staccato notes following. But it's important that the melody is lined up really well stylistically here because it's going to come back with a lot of people later.
Yeah, this happens. This melodic idea happens a lot. And the tendency is going to be for younger players to want to play it in two bar phrases because
it ends
on a half note. So you have to do not let them get away with that.
Which is hard because you're not going to start the piece off at 152.
That's right. Right.
But you've got to like mark it in their parts and tell them like, this is something we're going to think about later on down the road. So you've got to get used to not breathing there. Add the little vibrato symbol on the flute part as they carry through there. So that way they can help push it forward. I would draw like a little micro crescendo so that they lead through the bar line. This melody continues on and on through the same part all the way to measure 13. Again, just making sure that the style is matching, but trumpet is the focal point. And again, not letting percussion overtake the band as we're just all 2D playing here.
Yeah, and then the accompaniment part, that what I would like consider the motor, 1 and 4, 1
yes.
and for keeping it way underneath. The horn and tenor sax, sorry, not the horn, it is horn, sorry.
Yeah,
horn, tenor sax,
two,
second trumpet,
yeah,
oboe.
They come in with like a little
harmony. They have something that's just slightly
at measure
different.
Nine, yeah. So at 9, they come in with a different part and gives it a little bit more interest. Everybody's not on the same part anymore. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that whenever kids have like the same note over and over, that they're tonguing really firmly so you can hear the rhythm. That will just help line it up harmonically with the melody. So at measure 13, we're still continuing on with the same melody, voices, flute, clarinet 1, and trumpet 1. We still have that harmony part at measure that we had at 9, same voices like oboe, clarinet 2, trumpet 2, alto, tenor, horn, and then the accompaniment is still happening in the low brass. Then we have a new idea at 15. The timpani and the lows have a beat 1 entrance, and then everybody else comes in on beat 2, and then lows again on 3 and then highs on 4 and.
So this conversation.
It's just like a little cool conversation.
And it's marcato accents here. So this, like, a notably firmer articulation.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 3. And on the 1, 2, 3, there's a trill and the upper voices and the mallets. So do what you will with that. I told Laura.
Katie loves a mallet trill.
Not a fan of mallet trills. When they're written in my kids' parts, I just tell them to leave them out. So it's up to you. If you really love a bells trill, leave it in. Sounds good. But don't let it be loud, everybody. And then there's another like beat 4 entrance with those same percussive instruments at measure 16. And that leads us into the next section at 17.
So at 17, the upper woodwinds, now flute is up an octave with the same theme that we had before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3. But now the response is in the trumpet and second clarinet. They have, and euphonium ends up having a little response. So not the exact same melody, but just some eighth note articulation. We've taken less of the people off of that motor accompaniment, which is kind of nice because you have this new idea. Still very medium level volume. The upper woodwinds come out of the texture a little bit here, but everybody else just nice mezzo forte.
And on the upper woodwinds, it's just flute, oboe, and clarinet 1. So it's not like a ton of voices and alto. So just be careful to make sure that those four voices balance correctly with the conversational part between the trumpet, horn, euphonium, like Laura just mentioned. So making sure that the volumes match and it's not like the response is way softer.
We talked before at the very beginning about the fact that you don't need really strong low brass to play this. Now, the range on this is a little high, like the trombone part goes up to an E flat, the euphonium part. So, I mean, the range is a little high, but rhythmically and melodically, they are not being tasked with a lot.
Yeah.
But I did want to just clarify that the range for those instruments does get a little high.
Yeah. Because the euphonium, like she had mentioned, is different from the trombone part, and it kind of mimics like the horn part more often in this piece, which is fun. So we're continuing on with those upper woodwinds having the melody, and we have some accidentals, as we mentioned before, just because of the harmonic structure of the piece. And then making sure that whenever the kids have like a dotted half note followed by two eighth notes, that you stagger that in your kids' parts. So like 21, 23, 24, there's dotted half notes followed by two eighth notes in all these parts. And you want to make sure that you mark in like A, B breathing or something like that, where they're not all breathing in the same spot. Because like Laura mentioned, they're all going to want to either breathe every two or every four. So here, this is a great spot where you can say, okay, you two, you're going to breathe in 21. You two, you're going to breathe in 23. And then those first people can breathe again at 24 or whatever it is. But marking it in your kids' parts or during sectionals, assigning it, everybody does it differently. I even do it differently myself half the time. I used to just be like, okay, A, B, A, B, you're an A, you're a B. But then I realized like, okay, but like, what if my kids aren't all on the first part on a different piece? So now I actually go through and like say, you're going to breathe in this measure.
I do. Yeah.
And I say, like, you two are on third clarinet. Well, you're going to breathe in this measure and you're going to breathe in this measure. Make sure that the part is always sounding. So going through that extra detail step, while it's more work on your end, it's going to make it so much easier when you're in rehearsal, knowing I've already pre-planned where they're going to breathe. So I should not hear a big hole right there where everybody's taking a breath at the same time. Sorry, that was a little tangent, but I think it's important. And then at 25, we've got the same people just kind of finishing out the melody. We have a crescendo from the full band, and percussion goes down to pianissimo and then does a crescendo. So we want that to be like driving it forward. And then we get this big moment with the lows on beat one and four, and everybody else has this fun rhythm.
And three
with accents. And then everybody has accents. One, three, four, one, off on three.
And the kids are going to want to, once again, shorten that half note. They are going to want to go and three.
Right.
So make sure that half note is pushing all the way. And
it's a great place to draw an arrow to the bar line.
And we vocalize. I know we've talked about this before, but we do a lot of vocalization in my band hall. So that would be a place that we would stop and everybody would say, da dee da, da dee da, and I'd make them pulse with their voice so that we know exactly where we're supposed to stop. So that's a little trick to help align that.
And then if they're taking a good breath in 28, that part that she was singing, they should not have to breathe again. So making sure that they don't take a breath in 29 either, that you just get really good fronts to the notes with the accents. Then we start a new spot. Nobody plays on beat four that time. That's the first time percussion hasn't had a beat four to start a new section. So now we're at 31. The lows get their little two measures of
just
glory.
Just a brief moment.
Yeah. So they play like one, two, three, four, and now we're slowing down. So we're getting slower. We're retardandoing. We're decrescendoing. We're just trying to bring the pulse down. Percussion is not active here, so everybody's going to have to look up in the low voices to change right with you. There is a hard cutoff on beat three in measure 36, and there's a gong roll through it, which is pretty cool sounding. Adds to that exotic feel. And then at 37, it's marked 80. So you've basically gone halftime down.
Right.
So at 37, this is a new dance. So before it was like a fun, like
group dance. Everybody,
yes,
right?
Yes. And this one is a soloistic dance. It's a Turkish soloistic dance. And the solo is personified through alto saxophone. There's like there's like little cool finger symbols here. You can imagine like a little dancer,
yeah. Yes, exactly.
So that's kind of the vibe here. It's supposed to just sound really pretty and fun. The accompaniment is way thinned out. It's like just the low reeds behind the alto sax solo or soli. So you can kind of choose, you know, do you have a kid that's strong enough or do you want it to be beefed up a little bit? It says cues in the bassoon part the bassoon plays, but it's got cues for the tenor part. So if you don't have a tenor sax or you don't want to add it in and you want it to be more thinned out, you can really do whatever you want here with these low reeds. You could honestly make it just be a sax choir and leave out bassoon and bass clarinet. It just depends on your color. Your kids and the color you're looking for.
And I love the tom part here. So there is a tom part, and obviously, you know, this part is important. It's the only beat or pulse that you're getting in this section too. So this is a really cool section. It's not very long.
Yep.
But the snapping, this is where the snapping comes in. And there is some choreography. Like, she's very specific about how they are supposed to hold.
And I think if you're gonna play this for this piece is versatile. You could play it for an all region band, which I have seen
done multiple do before. Times. Yes.
You could do it at UIL. You could do it at a spring concert, right, at a fall concert, whatever. Either way, you want this cool like element. It says like snaps both arms overhead, palms facing the audience to make the snaps be loud going outward. So, you know, you have to take some time to talk through it with your kids and show them exactly what to do so it looks effective, and don't have those lame-o, you know, kids that think they're too cool for school, like barely raising their arms.
Or snapping their lap or whatever. Yeah. Like, if you're going to do it, like, commit, right?
Yeah, and if you have a kid who can't snap, because I'm sure that that exists all over the place, they still need to put their arms up and just, like, do the motion without making a sound. Yeah. And then the castanet gets to play here with the snaps, which is really fun. This is a great introduction to those different kinds of accessory instruments and percussion that we don't always get. The saxophone solo continues on with the band just doing the little snaps in the background quietly. Then clarinet one takes over the solo, and it's written up above the staff a little bit, at the top of the staff and above. So you'll want to make sure that you either have one really good player, it's not marked a solo, but it could be, or two that can really play in tune and beautifully in that
range
of the instrument, for sure, because it's going to kind of just take over that lyrical nature from the saxophone. Then we get to the end of that little section with the saxophone finishing out the melody.
And we add in the brasses now.
Yep,
so now
this is at 45, and it's marked to go just four beats faster.
A little bit faster.
Yep. Yep, go ahead.
Just picking up the pace a little bit so you can feel the energy starting to kind of circle back to that faster tempo, but trumpets take over, a new idea here, low brass or kind of conversational with what's happening. Now we've got low reeds that are still, the low reeds have continued playing the entire time.
Yep.
We've just taken out
added
the upper
the
woodwinds.
Low brass,
yeah.
The mallet part switches to brass mallets here to make it just be that more like tingy sound, like the finger cymbals and things like that. So that's kind of fun. Just make sure that you tell your kids not to like overplay. It's marked mezzo piano, but brass mallets make it, you know, a little bit louder. And then the upper woodwinds kind of join in with the trumpets, like flute and oboe at measure 49. We're still continuing. And this is all going to be really connected, by the way.
Yes.
I didn't mention that before. But there are staccatos written in only in the accompaniment part before 45. Then nothing's written in. So we're going to keep this really
full value. Yep.
Tonguing firmly when you have slurs, make sure the second note of the slur is still long and connected to the next note. I think it would be really easy for trumpets to play one, two, three, and one, and two, and try to make like the eighth notes really short.
Yeah.
But it's going to be da, 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 you know, really connected. So just make sure you've written in like arrows, reminding them where not to breathe, especially in the trumpet and flute part. And then the low brass gets to help us crescendo a little bit going into 53. We're getting stronger as a full band. Everybody's coming in. We have this one and two, three and four. And that
should be long. Yes.
It should not be one and two, three and four, one and two. Yeah. So like, don't let them make it all short and disconnected. It needs to all be leading in. And like flutes even have ta, ta, ta. That all needs to be long and connected. Mm-hmm. And then at 55, we've all got a forte. The timpani has a forte piano. Snare drum has like a little rhythm, and that's what's going on here. Everybody else has a long note, and we have one bar of 2/4. And then we hit our new tempo again.
Back to the original tempo.
So the snare drum is really the one that's going to drive this new change, the new tempo. So then the full band cuts off right whenever it goes back to the full tempo, 152 to 160 at 57. You're going to have that beat 4 entrance again from percussion with the tambourine roll, hitting the suspended cymbal with a mallet. So it's kind of like
timpani,
two, three,
bass drum,
four.
Snare drum are 1, 2, 3. And then we get
4.
The, yes.
And then just percussion has a little break for 2 measures. Yep. And then we start with hand claps instead of snaps now. And the claps should be held at head height, so that you can see them from the audience. So you don't want to have them just clap down at their legs, mm-hmm. where you can't see it. Again, it's choreographed. It's supposed to look really fun. You should 100% make sure you teach the kids how to clap.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you want to do. You might like the like lower sound. You might like the higher sound. It doesn't matter. You choose, but you need to make sure it sounds the same.
That's right. It's got to be practiced. We talk about when we do clapping in music room, my band hall, we talk about a golf clap, right? So like if you were at a golf tournament, they don't clap at a golf tournament like you clap at a football game.
Right.
So we talk about a golf clap, that you know, fingers on the palm type of clap. Whatever you want is fine.
Right.
But the point is, it has to be taught.
Everybody has to do
it the
same.
And it has to be, that's right, it has to be executed the same.
Yep. And then at 62, the clapping continues, but the kids, I've seen, shout out to Kim Bean. She played this piece with our region band 1 year, and she had the kids half the kids move their hands down to where they weren't as loud, like behind the stand. Or she said, like, half the kids don't clap at all. But it was very effective because you heard the claps before, like, we moved on. And then it was just softer whenever the melody came in at 62. Mm-hmm. So you can experiment depending on how many kids are in your band or whatever. You could either have them pull their hands down behind the stand to block the sound, or have half the kids sit out from clapping. That's not as fun. They probably want to clap.
Yeah.
But there's lots of ways to do it. But just make sure the claps come out of the way at 62.
Making sure you can hear the melody.
Yeah. And the tuba and low reeds, because they have that driving
the
part
motor.
Again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we want to make sure we can hear the tuba part, because it's like kind of alone here along with like Barry sax.
But the melody here, it is exactly like what it was at the beginning.
Yep.
So no new musical ideas
here. But it's back to just the upper woodwinds this time. No trumpet yet. So real thinned out. Again, same things we mentioned before, making sure you're leading through measures. Then at 70, we have the upper flute, clarinet 1 and sax have 1, 2, and 3, 4. Same thing we had before. Then we have a conversation with the lows, back and forth, 1, 2, and 3, 4. Percussion's kind of helping out. Then at 72, the trumpets are back to the melody, this time with saxophone. Everybody else is now on the motor parts. We're done with clapping. Mm-hmm. They have to be way softer. It's just like the beginning, except we have a new idea in the upper woodwinds here. So the trumpet and alto have the melody, and then flute, oboe, first clarinet have like
a
little counter melody back and forth.
Same thing the trumpets and horns had earlier.
Yep.
We just switched roles.
Yes. And then we're continuing on. At measure 80, we have accents again. Same thing. 1, 2, and 3, 4. Uppers. 1, 2, and 3, 4. Full band has a mezzo piano, kind of like a forte piano. Everybody gets really soft and builds it up. We have the recap from
recap
the very
like
beginning.
The beginning, exactly.
Yep. And then 2, and 3, don't breathe. And 3, don't breathe. And then everybody gets soft again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. 3, 1, and then off
lots
again,
of percussion.
And on 4, big percussion, big timpani, and then 1, big percussion, timpani on 4, full band. It's just like a, you know, typical ending, off on beat 3 with percussion driving ahead while the full band is holding, big timpani part, and then on beat 4, everybody yells, hey, and you have to make sure that you practice that too.
That's right.
Everybody's in the same, like, tessitura of voice, not, hey, fight, you know, yeah. and not hurt. Yeah.
And something you that everybody can do. You have to commit to.
Yeah, yeah. So that piece, this piece is so fun. Just under 100 measures. Not super crazy difficult, but just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah. Kids will enjoy it for sure. They'll be singing the melody.
Yes.
You know, walking out of your band hall.
Oh, for sure. Well, we hope you will consider programming Byzantine dances in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.